The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
My name is Kyle Estep. I'm one of the pastors and elders here at Summit, and just want to welcome you this morning. Most mornings, actually, even over the last couple of years, we've been working really hard and trying to be very intentional to do something that we love to describe around Cherrydale as joying. We work hard to hold on to joy together, and we try to think through that even in terms of how we celebrate on a Sunday morning. And there is much to celebrate and much that we just declared in singing together to celebrate about the Lord's goodness and faithfulness, which is what we want to highlight every time we get a chance to be together. So if you're a guest with us, thank you so much for being here. We are privileged to have you with us. There are a lot of great churches all over this area, so the fact that you're here with us is not lost on us. And we hope and pray you feel welcomed and encouraged here this morning. I will confess front end of the service, it's a unique morning, a very unique morning for us. And so I just welcome you here with us as we navigate through the morning together. And part of that is this week, you know, there's a sense in which there can be great joy alongside of and running alongside of other emotions that we experience. That's the beauty of joy. It doesn't have to leave when some other emotion shows up. And I think that's something we're celebrating together. And one of the ways that we frequently are kind of robbed of what is real by everything going on outside of us, out and around us, is the idea that we can't experience multiple things at the same time in God's good grace. Because what happens is the pressure from the outside says you have to think about everything the way we want you to think about it. That's the only way you're allowed to think about it. And so then you start to wrestle with, am I allowed to be sad or angry or frustrated or hurt or joyful in this? Is that even allowed? And you're constantly being told, depending on what you submit yourself to, you're constantly being told what you should think and feel and how you should think it and how you should feel it. And what that robs you and I of is a very biblical, beautiful picture that we've already celebrated this morning. Lament. Sin is gutting the world. And we've all contributed to it. That's the good news of the gospel, that God knew we in our sinful state could not help ourselves. We would also contribute to the world's brokenness because of our sin. And so sin abounds, it feels like. And that's what the psalmist echoes, right? How long do we have to wait in the suffering, effects, and devastation of sin? And you don't have to look around far. Here, for me, I'll just invite you into what my week looked like. And this isn't about me. It's just, I'm going to be honest with you. Because I wanted to come in, sit here, and act like everything was great. But daggone Austin had to teach last week. He's not even here. He's serving somewhere else. About being transparent when somebody says, are you good? You're like, yeah, I'm good. It wasn't just that. It's that we have this ability and nobody's allowed to rob it from us. So my wife had what we thought was pink eye turned into be a crazy, weird eye infection all week. And it wasn't massive. It was just, for if you asked her, she'd say it was just annoying. But it just lingered. It lingered. And in the midst of something that was lingering already in our family, you start to get just the onset of what really is every week, if we're honest. Every week, there are stories to tell that are gut-wrenching to hear. We got the news early in the week that starts hitting all the outlets of a 20-year-old man shot. And you know what you're told? You have to think about that from one side of the political view. That's all you're allowed to do. You either have to figure out if he deserved it, or you have to figure out if you're against all the cops. You can Shake your head if you want, but that's what you're told to think. Either he deserved it or all of them are awful. Hmm. 24 hours later, news of a faithful man at Summit Simpsonville who was a part of my life and my family's life in a small group for some time. I can only tell you this story. He was 73 years old one time, asked me if I wanted to go running on a Saturday morning. I said, sure, because who wouldn't want to run with a 73-year-old? That sounds amazing. And I was just trying to start running again, so I was like working up for a 10K and could barely make it 3 miles. And I walked out at 7 a.m. drinking my coffee to stretch because he was going to show up soon. And I thought, this is going to be an awesome, like relaxing Saturday morning run. And here he comes. He had run to my house to go running. He lived a mile and a half away. He was going to run to my house, run with me, and then run home. It did not go well for me. He had to stop and wait on me on multiple occasions. He'd turn, stop. You want to take a break? Very humbling. He was sent home, had multiple issues, particularly with his kidneys and his organs began to fail. Sent him home for hospice about 5 p.m. By midnight, he had moved into eternity. Mm. A life worth celebrating, for sure. It's still sad to lose life that you loved. Less than 12 hours later, news of a teenager, 13 years old, shot. Again, you know what you were told? Figure out if he deserved it. Or get rid of everybody who works in law enforcement. That's what you were told. You better figure out which side you're on. This is about sides. That's what you're told. Not even 24 hours later, 8 people died in Indianapolis because a guy was mad, apparently, at his former employer and some other people there and just went in and started shooting. Do you know what you were told? Either you believe in the right to bear arms or you don't and take your side. Is that really what that's about? You and I are being robbed of the ability to experience grief and lament and still hope that God actually cares what's going on in this broken, sinful world. And he does. He cares deeply about it. And there will be justice. And it will prevail. And he will make all things new. But we're not there yet. So it's okay to grieve. It's okay to process all that's going on around us through the lens of who he is, not what everybody else is screaming at you that you ought to think. In the middle of that, I fly to meet a friend to celebrate a 40th birthday on his 41st birthday because COVID. And I hang out with him and my heart is filled up and we enjoy spending some time together for less than 24 hours. And I come back home last night to the text that my uncle is in the emergency room in Ohio. Heart going crazy. And all I'm saying is it's okay to walk in these doors, sit in that seat, wherever you are, and not be perfectly okay. And it's okay to walk in here and not try to figure it all out based on what they out there want you to think. And that doesn't mean you can't have opinions, and it doesn't mean you can't care about politics, but if your first initial gut reaction when life is gone is to think about the political posture you want to take, then I would challenge you to set yourself before the Lord and say, Father, would you graciously root into my heart and strip out of me whatever it is that is causing me to miss the moment to grieve when an image bearer's life is gone? Would you strip and root out of me all the ways I'm tempted to vilify one side or the other so that I feel better about what's going on in this moment? Would you purify in me a desire and a longing for you to come and make all things new and to fight and participate and walk with you in obedience eagerly to see that day come, even now, Lord Jesus, come. Would you help me to participate actively with the people I actually know and have conversations with them and befriend them and begin to understand them and begin to process life with them through the lens of the scripture as we think about what is going on in our world. But would you never and never allow me to lose sight of the fact that when someone made in your image no longer exists, my first response is not political. My first response is, come Lord Jesus, the broken world is getting heavier. So we lament, not without hope, but with hope. There can actually be joy in lament. There can be hope and a belief, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, that God will prove near and good and faithful. And there is the ability to trust that God will still heal hearts and redeem the lost and bring new mercies for this day and each new day this week as we continue to pursue the realities of his kingdom here and now. Lament can be honest with what is grievous and painful because it anchors its hope in the one who can actually transform it all and who one day promises he will. I offer this prayer in the face of lament this morning from a book given to me by a friend. From the discords of yesterday, resurrect my peace. From the discouragements of yesterday, resurrect my hope. From the weariness of yesterday, resurrect my strength. From the doubts of yesterday, resurrect my faith. From the wounds of yesterday, resurrect my love. Let me enter this new day aware of my need, awake to your grace, O Lord, I pray. And we echo, as we continue in worship this morning, the psalmist in Psalm 73. At the end of the psalm, he says, whom have I in heaven but you, and there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Yes, today we lament. We have significant news to share with you this morning, exciting news actually in the life of Summit Church to share with you this morning. But I couldn't come in and just say, this is all we got. Because there's just a lot more today to celebrate, to enjoy, and to rest in than thinking about us. I love you, and I'm for you, and I pray that God will help us together as we continue to navigate the realities of this heavy world. And just so you know, I'm aware it's a lot more than the things I just listed for some of you in this room. I know specifically in this room, people who are aching inside for things that are a lot heavier than some of the stuff I carried this week. You do not carry it alone. We love you and we're praying for you, and you take as long as you need to stand back up and sing. Father God, we love you because you first loved us. And it is a privilege to be able to gather together and to celebrate your goodness and your faithfulness, to actually acknowledge that the anchor of hope we have together this morning for all of us gathered here today, the one place where hope is immovable, it's the one place that is certain and secure, is actually in you. And so we just trust and we ask, would you allow us to rest in that, to enjoy that, to celebrate that, to trust in that, to believe in that with you this morning? Would you, through your spirit and through your word, continue to empower us to be a people who believe? Not only have you reconciled us to yourself through the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, where his righteousness becomes our righteousness and our sins are covered by your great grace and mercy. But you also have invited us to participate in the divine life with the Father and the Son and the Spirit, the life you share. We get to participate in that in everyday life here and now, empowered by your Spirit to go into the world and to declare the good news of the gospel and to live out the realities of your kingdom and to allow people to have access to who you are and what it means to be loved by you through the way we live in this world as light in the midst of darkness, bearing witness to who you are and giving thanks to who you are. Would you help those things continue to be true of us? That everything, every time we leave here above the door is this reminder that the reality of the gospel and your kingdom goes in us. Would it be true among us that we live that way, we make decisions that way, we think about life that way, we navigate difficulty that way, and we do so for your glory and your fame so that others may come to understand and hear and respond to the realities of the gospel being proclaimed to them in Jesus Christ. We ask all of this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. As I said earlier, if you're newer here, then a little bit of what you'll hear today may, it may be surprising, or it may just be like, I don't really understand, and that's fine too. And those of you who've been here for quite some time, some of this news may be a little surprising to you as well, but I do believe that it will be exciting for us as a church as well. Some of you know Jason Malone. Jason is one of the elders at Summit Church. He, for the last 5 years, spends most of his Sundays at Summit Simpsonville. Jason started Summit Church in 2007, and we moved here shortly thereafter to help Summit get going as well. And over the years, God's allowed multiple people to come onto our staff team and multiple elders to come onto our elder team. And at this present moment, Summit is in 4 different locations, all with live teaching, elders at every place, just trying to live out the things we just talked about together in different locations. Different places where God has allowed us to kind of sovereignly exist as a church, and we're thankful for that. Over the last year and a half, there were some opportunities presented to our elders that we began to pray about. COVID kind of pushed a pause button a little bit. It slowed everything down a little bit, which actually ended up being a blessing to just take time to think through and process through a lot of questions and things that we wanted to think through in light of some of the opportunities presented to us. Jason came out of a church called Fellowship Greenville. Now that's what it's called. It's called Southside Christian Church for a while, or Southside Fellowship and Southside, you know how churches are. We all do it. It is what it is. And so came out of there after 10 years of ministry there to plant Summit with their blessing. And so we've had a great partnership with them for some time. And along the way, there was kind of this stream of thought that came along from them. As they observe some things in us, then we begin to observe some things in them about partnering together more closely, being more intentional in a partnership together to think about church planting, planting new churches, perhaps in this area, but even beyond it as well, revitalizing churches, maybe churches that are about to close their doors. What would it look like to serve them, love them, encourage them, similar fashion to what happened with our Spartanburg congregation when they merged with Bethany Baptist Church. And so just some of those conversations starting between the two churches about how that might look to do that in partnership. And then actually another kind of opportunity or stream of thought entered that about Jason's role in all of that, along with an opportunity at Fellowship Greenville. So this is a little unique for us on a Sunday. We don't do this often, but I'd love for you to turn your attention to the TV and allow Jason to share a little bit of what's going on from his heart and our elders. Affirming what the direction that you'll hear this morning for his life and what that means for Summit Church, and then we'll unpack some of that together in terms of what it actually means practically for us. But just take a moment, if you would, and listen to Jason.
Good morning, Summit family. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's an exciting day for us. We like to call it Vision 2030 Sunday, and 2020 curbed a lot of things And one of the things that occurred was our opportunity to have this Sunday together. Also Celebration Sunday, when we all get together downtown and do baptisms and worship together. We're just excited that this year we get the opportunity to have a conversation with you about where we feel like the Lord is continuing to lead us as a church family. I know for some of you, some of the things we'll talk about this morning may not be new information. For others of you, depending on when you've joined us on our journey here at Summit, it may be new information for you. When we began back in 2007, myself, my wife, and a few other families, there were a couple of key questions that we were processing through. One is, what is God up to in the world? The answer to that, we believe, biblically, is redeeming people. The other question we were processing through is, well, how is he accomplishing what it is that he's up to? And we believe, again, biblically, that he's primarily doing that through the church, big C, Christ followers around the world who are living with intentionality where the Lord has placed them. And if Christ followers are the vehicle, so to speak, to accomplish the mission that the Lord has, if we are going to be Christ followers who are proclaiming the good news about coming to know Jesus Christ ourselves and inviting others to come to know him and walk with him and be transformed by him, then for us as a new church, a local church that was starting back in 2007, we knew that we wanted to be about planting more churches and also partnering with churches that already existed that were also gospel-centered, which is obviously our heartbeat and our passion. So that really is what we've given ourselves to over the last 14 years. And the Lord has been incredibly kind and incredibly gracious to us on the journey that we've been on to make sure that we have stayed focused and committed to what the Lord has called us to. We have regularly revisited our mission as a church family to continue to lay out in front of us a vision for accomplishing the mission. A few years ago now, the elders here at Summit introduced and walked through what we call, and what we're talking about today, Vision 2030. We've always talked about it like this. I know a lot of people talk about mission and vision and values in different ways, but here at Summit, we've always talked about it in this way. Our vision is an articulated plan within a certain time frame to make sure that we are accomplishing the mission. So as elders, we seek the Lord and we pray and we plan together and we put a plan together that allows us to stay focused on our task as a church. And we constantly come back to that vision and we revisit it, we update it really in 2 to 3 year increments. And the vision itself is built around our distinctives as a church family. The idea that we're target driven, the idea that we're committed to the spiritual formation of those that we shepherd and walk with, that we're committed to church planting and church partnership, that we're committed to interdependency and leadership, how we lead, that we're committed to a sense of global intentionality. Those are our distinctives as a church family, and those distinctives continuing to be teased out with some practical things that we can be accomplishing, like that's where the vision sits, all under the umbrella of the mission of every man, woman, and child having the repeated opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without them having to come or go anywhere. And so we've been through the years, and some of you that have been with us for a while will remember, we've been updating kind of where we are as we look to 2030. We put together a pretty strategic plan in 2018. We shared that with all of you on Sunday mornings, as well as through a series of videos. And then we celebrated every year. We celebrated every year, like what the Lord has been doing in regards to that vision. And like I said a moment ago, even though 2020 took so many things, one of the things that 2020 was not able to take was a church still living on mission and accomplishing the vision that the Lord has given to us. We're super thankful for that. That is his kindness, and that is his grace. So we want to take some time this morning and talk a little bit more about the future. And I wanted to take some time to set up where we've been and historically how we've looked at things, the intentionality behind how we've put things together with the vision, and how that's built around our core distinctives. One of the reasons that works so well is because when the Spirit of God brings things to us as elders to process and think through. We're able to do that through the grid of mission, vision, and distinctives. And that allows us to keep walking in step with the Spirit as things are brought before us as elders to think through and process through. Over the past 16 months, an opportunity has presented itself to us as elders. And based on our mission, vision, and distinctives, we're stepping into the way we think the Spirit is leading. And it has some ramifications for the Summit family. In the fall of 2019, some conversations began taking place between the leadership of Fellowship Greenville and the leadership of Summit about a more intentional and strategic partnership. Not a merging of our two local churches together. And for those of you that don't know, Fellowship is the church that I was a part of and on staff with for years before planting Summit. What we're looking to do moving forward is leveraging our history, our familiarity with one another, the trust of relational capital, our theological alignment, and our plethora of resources to continue to advance the kingdom of God across the upstate of South Carolina and beyond through a strategic focus on church planting and church partnership and church revitalization, which again is one of our core distinctives within our vision to accomplish our mission. And so as the elders of Summit and the elders of Fellowship Greenville have taken a lot of time and prayed and processed about this opportunity before us, it seemed good to all of us and the Holy Spirit that I step into a new role, heading up a new initiative called the Upstate Church Collective, where Summit and Fellowship will strategically partner to plant churches and partner with churches and revitalize churches. We're going to launch a church planting residency in which we're raising up the next generation of leaders with the character and competency to sustain lifelong ministry. One of the unique pieces of this role is that while still being strategically tethered to and a part of Summit, I'm also going to be stepping onto the staff team at Fellowship Greenville. So I will officially be on Fellowship staff team, but creating, launching, and running the Upstate Church Collective with Kyle Estep and Terry Carlton and Josh Keels and others from the Summit team. We get the opportunity in this moment to build this collective together, Summit and Fellowship, our leadership teams. I'm really excited about that. Now, some of you might ask, well, why do you, Jason, need to be on the Fellowship staff team in order to launch the Upstate Church Collective? And I think that's a really great question. A couple of reasons. One, along with launching the collective, I've also been asked to give some oversight to Fellowship's internal leadership development pipeline, their spiritual formation arm of their congregation. So training and equipping their small group, life group leaders, and other ministry leaders, much like I've done here at Summit for years and years and years. And then also the reason that I'm stepping onto the staff team there while launching the Upstate Church Collective is that Charlie Boyd, who has been the directional leader there at Fellowship Greenville for the last 25 years, he's going to be stepping back from some of his day-to-day ministry responsibilities in the near future. In the next 2 years or so, he'll be stepping back from those day-to-day responsibilities, and I'm going to be stepping into that role as the directional leader there at Fellowship also. What I hope you haven't missed in all of this information that we're throwing at you this morning is that the distinctives with which we are strategically accomplishing the vision, so target-driven in particular, church planting, church partnership, interdependency and leadership, all of those distinctives of ours at Summit to accomplish our vision, to accomplish our mission, all of them are in play with this transition that is taking place. The one distinctive that I want to take a little more time and unpack, because I think it is a unique piece of Summit, and I think it plays a real central piece in what we're getting ready to do, is the distinctive of interdependency in leadership. And so I've asked Kyle Estep if he would to take a few minutes and talk about how interdependency is such a vital piece of what the Lord is calling us to do.
online, there's a video of me talking. It would probably be short and succinct, but we're going to do it live here, and that is just to catch a little bit of what you just heard. That is a lot of information for anybody who's been here for quite some time, and you can understand the way in which it might be surprising for some of our congregations as they navigate through some of that information this morning, as Jason is someone at Simpsonville, particularly, that they've known for going on 14 years, and who started Summit Church. Jason is going to step onto a staff position role at Fellowship Greenville. And so there are some questions about what that means for Summit. Before I address those, I do want to just acknowledge something that he referenced there, and that is, one, the elders' confidence that God is actually leading us in this direction. We do believe, as we've prayed, we've asked hard questions, we've tried to press in and think about whether or not it'll work, and we don't have all the answers, but we do believe this is a step that God is calling us to take, where we can join together with them more intentionally to plant churches, partner with existing churches, and continue by God's sheer grace to see the gospel advance in our city and in our region here in the upstate and hopefully beyond it as well. But that doesn't mean we know exactly how that's going to happen. So when Jason talks about a vision, we do put timeline in front of it, but we hold it very loosely. Like, God can change that plan whenever he so pleases. We don't hear perfectly. And so we're always listening and seeking to say, God, whatever you want to do, you can do it. The other thing is that I think this does present for us at Summit uniquely an opportunity to practice something we've talked a lot about theoretically and theologically, and that is interdependent leadership. That Summit is not built on the personality or the strengths and the weaknesses of one single person, but we really do want to practically and functionally try to live in such a way that Jesus is the head of his church, and we're going to submit to him and serve the body and build others up into the realities of who they are in Christ. And therefore, if God so chooses, he can move pieces around, or we can fill in gaps when something difficult occurs, which we've experienced in the past as well. Leadership should be able to adjust to that and care for the body faithfully. And so theoretically or theologically, we've often said, let's be a church that is willing to release everything if God calls us to. Finances, give it away if God calls us to other churches, to ministry needs, to people. If God would allow us to experience his generosity, particularly through your generosity to us, then we want to be found as a church that shares openly the generosity we've received, meaning we'll give resources away. Constantly trying to give large portions of our financial budget throughout the year to other people, to other ministries, to other needs. And I believe we've done that, and I believe we'll continue to do that, and by God's grace, we'll continue to grow and increase that number. I have a number in my mind, percentage-wise, that I wish Summit would give away every year out of our budget to bless others in ministry in our region and beyond it. And it's audacious, and it feels impractical, but I can't wait. I'm trusting that the Lord will allow us to see that number. We've always prayed, Lord, let us be open-handed with people resources. And so to date, at times that's meant, hey, here's a worship leader for us that works part-time, and he has an opportunity to go bless and encourage another church, and we send him off with joy or her off with joy, and we celebrate what God's doing, and it's just a church right down the street. Or we have a church that meets in our building constantly. So we have a church that meets in here every Sunday night. We've had multiple churches start in our facilities and then go out into new places. We bring church planters into our church frequently and desire to pray for them and tell you that if you live next to where they're planting, you should pray about whether or not God would have you be a part of their local expression of the church so that you could be more effective in reaching your neighbors. Doesn't mean you have to be, just means we want to give you the opportunity because it's not just about us. And then you start to think about the categories of, okay, so what about now? Because now it's not theoretical and it's not just theological conviction. It is an opportunity to say joyfully, it seems as though God has been leading in a way that Jason Malone, who started Summit, will step into a different role at a different church than one he came out of. That's weird. It's okay. You can say it's weird because it feels weird. We felt like it was weird. So you're going back to the place you left to plant Summit to help that place and Summit plant other churches. That's just different. And I don't know how you feel about it. That's not for me to decide. I just want you to know for us, it feels like an opportunity to say, okay, will we practice what we say we've always believed? In Acts chapter 13, you can turn there if you'd like, but just briefly to show you a biblical conviction for where interdependency grows here at Summit. Acts chapter 13 is a church in Antioch. And some of you have heard of the church in Antioch and some of you have not. But the church of Antioch, it is not an understatement to say that you and I are here worshiping today and proclaiming the gospel together in our worship today because of God's faithfulness and grace and mercy and movement through the church in Antioch in Acts chapter 13. That's not an untrue statement. What God was beginning to do in Acts chapter 13 had ramifications for the global impact of the gospel forever that you and I still enjoy this very day. In Acts chapter 13, it begins by telling you that there is a group of prophets and teachers gathered together and they are worshiping. And among the two, it lists Barnabas and Saul who would become the Apostle Paul. He would later be known as Paul, but this is him redeemed, already at work in Christ's church, despite having a past of persecuting Christ's church. So there's this beauty that's already transpiring, and Saul and Barnabas return to Antioch, and it is known that they are significant in the leadership of the church there. Impact in Antioch is significant because of Barnabas and Saul. And so in verse 2, what you find is these leaders who are gathered together, it says they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. And while they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So they're thinking about what God is doing, and they're celebrating that, and they're fasting, and they're praying together, they're worshiping together. And in the place of worship and intimacy, God leads them to set apart for his work that he is calling them to, Barnabas and Saul. And it would seem that without any evidence contrary to this point, that it would teach us the value of worship and fasting and prayer when you're pursuing God's will for your life, or when the elders of Summit are pursuing God's desires for the life and rhythm of our body here at Summit Church. You begin to see that intimacy with the Father leads to obedience to what the Father is doing and desires to do. And in a sense, global world mission with the gospel is born right here. It's gonna go. Or it has the opportunity to. Will this church take two of its most prominent, gifted spiritual leaders and send them out? Right? I mean, so sometimes we have this idea. It's like, we wanna be a church that sends people out. And it's like, well, you can have him and her, and Lord, you can take that person. Actually, you can take that person as fast as you want. And no, you have this sense in which, yes, we want people to be called out. We would always celebrate that. That sounds so great. But what if the Lord said, I want to take the best people you got and send them somewhere else? But that's exactly what begins to transpire here. Intimacy with God was not just some personalized experience about me or you or them as individuals. It became a life-altering experience where God began to remove self-centeredness and open their eyes to everything he wanted to continue to do through them. Which is why I say it's not an exaggeration to say that you and I are worshiping today in the upstate of South Carolina because of a prayer and fasting and worship meeting that took place in Antioch several hundred years ago. One pastor said it this way: because of their worship and prayer and fasting, the Spirit speaks freely to those who were listening here. And because the Spirit speaks, the apostles are sent. And because the apostles are sent, churches are planted. And because the churches are planted, missionaries are also sent from those churches into new places. And because the missionaries are sent into new places, the world is reached. And so the church approached her Antioch moment where God was about to act to change the world. But the Antioch leaders here demonstrated a posture of self-forgetfulness. After they fasted and prayed in verse 3, it says they laid their hands on them, that's Barnabas and Saul, and sent them off. In Acts chapter 11, Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. That's what we heard. So they love these people, and these people love them. In Acts 13, the Spirit says, let them go. It wasn't easy for the church. It was good. It was incredibly fruitful. They sent out two of their most gifted and influential leaders. And Barnabas and Saul, staying connected to Antioch, would bring back reports of their missionary journeys and all that God was doing. And this Gentile mission spread through Asia Minor, then to Greece, then to Italy, and on through the world until this very day where over 2 billion people identify with Jesus Christ as their Savior. The mindset of God at that Antioch moment in this church that was established in this place was not how can this church survive without Saul and Barnabas, but how can the world be reached with the message of the crucified and risen King of the universe. God was giving himself to the church that was giving itself to his mission and his glory in the world. Now, I'm not equating this moment for Summit to that. That's not what I'm doing. I'm saying this is an opportunity for something we've anchored in that text and that idea to be more than theory for us. Do we believe God loves his church as much as we do and profoundly more? And do we believe God will build his church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it? And do we believe that God gives people to the church for the building up of the body and the expansion of his kingdom, and that all of us are called to participate in the declaration of the good news of the gospel and bear witness to the realities of God's kingdom where he has sovereignly put us? And do we also believe that if God says, even for you, I have plans for one of your leaders to go and be somewhere else and do something else, and you'll be a part of that, but it's going to look different than you expected, the resounding answer on this day from us to you that we invite you to participate and join with us in is yes, let it be so. If it's not illegal, immoral, or unethical, why not? Let's try the most creative, audacious, crazy, intuitive, or non-intuitive things God invites us to participate in and trust that he will give the increase. There are ramifications for Summit. Most you will not feel here at Summit Cherrydale, to be honest. Summit Simpsonville obviously is losing, as it were, and giving away their congregational pastor, Jason Malone. Terry Carlton, the campus pastor, congregational pastor at Summit Easley for the last several years, who planted that church, then it became a part of Summit Easley, a whole nother story that we will share with you again soon. Had a video of Terry speaking to some of that this morning, but just do not have time to share that this morning. But Terry is going to actually step into the role at Summit Simpsonville alongside of Nathan Forrest, who's been serving as our family discipleship pastor. Nathan will kind of lean into a co-pastor role with Terry at Summit Simpsonville to care for that campus at this time, which does obviously leave a gap at Summit Easley. So one way you can participate with us in this moment is we are actively praying and looking for someone to pastor Summit Easley as a part of the Summit leadership team. So we're desiring, I'll tell you what I'm praying, that God would allow us to know who he has for Summit Easley before Jason is finished at Summit, which is actually the end of May. And that seems like, not sure how you could even pull that off type prayer, but I'm trusting the Lord can do it, and I would invite you to pray with us in that way. We do have a team set up at Summit Easley of folks there who are leaders, along with their elder, Remington Brooks, who's there, along with several others who go down there and teach frequently. Terry will still teach there once a month. Nathan goes and teaches there once a month. Brian Onken, who attends our Summit Simpsonville campus, teaches there frequently as well. So a rotation of people going in to teach the word and be faithful there, and a team put together to care for the people of Summit in this season of transition in communication with the elders. But that is different news for Summit Easley this morning than it is even for us, and for Summit Simpsonville than it is for us. And so would you please just continue to pray for them in this season? Because Nathan's moving to the role that he is, Austin McCollum, who was here last week, is going to move into the student ministry director role. And we're also hiring just a couple small administrative assistant pieces to help Kip, Kelly, have to do less of the day-to-day financial bookkeeping and actually be a little more present and involved and around here freely, because he's always here, but he also always carries along with him all these other tasks he's doing in terms of financial roles and what he does for us as executive pastor. And so trying to free up some of Kip's time to actually enjoy just being at Cherrydale some and worshiping and leading here alongside of me, and trusting the Lord that he'll continue to grow our team as needed, but more so that he'll grow our active participation with all of you, that Summit's mission and vision is not dependent entirely on staff. I believe that the only way the things we're praying for become reality is if all of us collectively continue to say, God, why not if you want to do it? And we're going to walk with you and see how it goes. We're going to walk with you every step and see what you have next. So I would appeal to you to continue to participate with us in worship faithfully, to pray for particularly Summit Simpsonville and Summit Easley, to sit in this for a season and see what it actually feels like when the two churches partner together more intentionally, to ask all the questions you want to ask. You can ask freely as you leave today if you desire. There's a short letter from the elders and some frequently asked questions on the back that get at some of the role changes, and in particular, some of the difficulty for some who may be wrestling with, you know, the question Jason asked, why do you have to go there to run this? But he answered that. Part of it is about the collective. The other part is the invitation from Fellowship Greenville to potentially take the directional leadership role in the place of Charlie Boyd, who's been there for years. So that is the transition that is occurring. We are excited. That doesn't mean that our excitement doesn't have some mixed emotions of what relationally we've experienced with Jason on our team for 14 years as someone who started the ministry. And it also doesn't mean that we have all the answers. It just means one step at a day, we're excited to see what God continues to do. And so we covet your prayers and we welcome your questions. You can email, you can ask us after the service. Kip's going to be at the table this morning right before you leave, where the letters are, and you're welcome to ask him questions as well. He's an elder at Summit. But just know that our joy this morning is we do believe God's going to continue to redeem people and call them to himself. We do believe that his primary vehicle to accomplish that is all of you and us, the church, living distinctive lives where God has sovereignly put us to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And we do believe that God desires to continue to use his church. So repurposing churches that maybe are about to close and breathing life into them, planting new expressions of his church of all different shapes and sizes, and continuing to partner with existing churches is something God invites his bride to do, and we should do more of and be better at than we have been historically. And so by God's grace, may it be so. I'm going to invite the band to come back up if they would. We're just going to sing a song as we conclude our time together, not because we just want to sing to end, because I think it would be good to remind ourselves of the joy of what it means to be bound to one another in Christ Jesus in such a way that it reaches far beyond the four walls of one Summit Church. Our binding to the body of Christ goes so far outside these glass doors to people who are gathered together in worship in China, in India, in the Philippines, in Africa, in Ukraine, in all the islands, in South America, in Canada. I mean, you can just, you name it. If there's a believer there, you are bound to them in Christ. They are a brother and sister in Christ. And God desires for them the same thing he desires for you, that you and I would put the realities of the gospel on display wherever we go for his sake and for his glory. And this is what the author, the Apostle Paul, says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about this reality. He says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ in such a way, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we, all of us in Christ, are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us. So we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, Jesus Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. As you go, the gospel goes in you. And our desire is that God will continue to take it to the ends of the earth through us and through the partnership of other churches in this area working together for his sake. Let's stand and sing together as we conclude our time. Hey, we've had like 18 months to process this, and you've had less than 18 minutes so for most of you. So if you have questions, please ask them. Do not hesitate to help us think through where you're at, what's going on in your heart and mind. We'd love to help you process, and you will likely help us as well. We love you, and we're praying for you. And we know that just because you were here in this hour, you still leave and walk back into some things that are really difficult and heavy, and some things that are really exciting and joyful. And so we just want you to know we're here. We love you. We're here. We're praying for you. And if we can help, we want to. I also need to say that if you've inquired about life groups recently, two things. One, I'm really sorry. We have a lot of people trying to get plugged in, and we're trying to find and create even more space for them than we currently have. But that does not excuse the fact that for some of you, you still haven't heard what the next step is. And so just owning that in front of you this morning with Kip and I are going to jump on that this week and try to get in touch. But also with life group leaders, keep praying. We need more groups to get started and initiated. We already see some of that happening, and so we're excited. We have a couple things that are going to get started soon. But we do not want the desire for community to fall away because there wasn't a space. And so we're seeking to create more of that and continue to improve that. But grateful for your patience thus far.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.